talking at the end of last week, we were talking about, I don't know if we actually got to distributing the, I think we started talking about how the proper way to distribute the Kiddush wine, when you make Kiddush. So in Yud Dalid, we're in Reish Ayin Aleph. So in Reish Ayin Aleph, Yud Dalid, so he writes, Im lo tom ha-mekadesh, v'tom echad me'ha-mesubin kamali lugmo v'yotza. So even if the one making Kiddush doesn't drink from the wine, as long as somebody drinks a mali lugmav, which we said was a cheekful, it's your yotze, rov revius, your yotze. V'ein shtisa shnayim mitzdarefes l'mali lugmav. And you can't have two people together. You can't have each two people, one each of them drink a half. If the one person drink a mali lugmav, umikol makom mitzvah min amufchar sheyitamu kulam. But yet it's a mitzvah min amufchar that everybody should taste. This is where we get the idea that it's ideal for everyone to drink something, for everyone to drink a little bit from the cup. Many times you go to Kiddush and people put out their cup to get a little bit. So that's from here, because he says it's a mitzvah min amufchar. And we mentioned, this doesn't mean l'charchila, that we did mention this last week. It doesn't mean it's l'charchila. L'charchila, you don't have to drink. Mitzvah min amufchar is a step beyond that. Mitzvah min amufchar is going beyond what you need to do. If you ask the Rav, what do I need to do? L'charchila is, you don't have to drink. But it's a nice inyan, it's a mitzvah min amufchar to drink. So how much does a person need to drink in order to be mekayim this inyan of mitzvah min amufchar? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Aleph, he says, sheyitamu kulam, haynu ti'ima bi'alma. You just have to take a taste. So there's no chi of any amount. Even a tiny, tiny little sip is enough to fulfill this inyan of mitzvah min amufchar. Which, when we talk about people drinking, so which wine is it that they need to drink? So if you take a look in Yud Zayin in the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Sarach Lishbos Mikos HaMekadesh L'Kosos Yayin Shalifnei HaMesubin. Shalom, how are you? Good. So Ein Sarach Lishbos Mikos HaMekadesh L'Kosos Yayin Shalifnei HaMesubin. You don't have to pour Reish Ayin Aleph, Yud Zayin. So now Yud Zayin upstairs in the Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Ain't sarach lishpos mikosa mekadish lekosos yain shlefnei amesubin. Elin kin kagumen. Then you do. But if not, you don't need to pour. So what he's arguing is that in order to drink the wine, quote-unquote, of the mekadish, you don't have to actually drink from his wine. You can drink even from the wine that's in front of you. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Tazayim, that lo yit'amu amesubin kodim shiyitom amekadish, imems kukim lakoso. Sheshofech mimenu lakoso shibiyadom reikonim. Aval imayulem kosos yayin sheinam pigumim, reshayin lishtos kodim shishta amakadesh. So when you look at Tazayin and Yudzayin and Yudalid, what comes out is that if I make Kiddush for a group of people, so really everybody's yotze, they don't need to drink anything, only I need to drink. And how much do I need to drink? A mali lugmov. If I don't want to drink the mali lugmov, somebody else can drink the mali lugmov. Even b'di'eved, there's a yesh omrim here, that you can have two people each drink. We said l'chachil, you shouldn't, because that was the first opinion. But even b'di'eved, you can have two people drink half a mali lugmav each, and that'll be mitzdarif. That's the second opinion in the Shulchan Aruch and Yedalad. Why then are we machbed that other people should drink? Meaning once I drank a mali lugmav, so nobody else needs to drink. They're all yotzei with Kiddush. And remember, this makes a lot of sense, because what's the inyan of Kiddush? It's not to drink wine. It's to say Kiddush. Why do we do it a la kos? To give the Kiddush chashivos. So once you make the bracha, once you're doing it a la kos, you're going to make a brei priya gafen. Someone needs to drink, but the Kiddush is not about, right, when you're a kid, Kiddush is all about getting the grape juice. Right, getting the grape juice, getting the kedem grape juice. That's what it's about when you're a kid. But when you're older, you realize that Kiddush is really about saying Kiddush. Someone needs to drink. So who drinks? One person drinks a mali lugmav. So what are we talking about here that you don't have to have wine in your cup and you can just drink straight up? That's to fulfill this inyan of mitzvah min amufchar. Mitzvah min amufchar says that it's a nice inyan for everybody to drink. But it's not required. It's not required for everybody to drink. Okay. So let's say we want to give out the Kiddush wine because we want to fulfill the mitzvah min amufchar. We don't need to give out the Kiddush wine. But let's say we want to give out the Kiddush wine so that everybody can drink from the Kiddush wine. What's the ideal way to do this? So we'll present a couple of different ways. If you're a bala bus and you're running a meal and you have to give out Kiddush, what's the best way to do it? So the first way, it's a little bit less popular nowadays because it's not as hygienic, is for you to drink from the cup and then to pass the cup around. and let everybody drink from the cup. So we'll get there. Yeah, I'm going to go through the different possibilities. That's also a possibility. I'm going through. What was that? Is it you drink what?
I make Kiddush. I pour it in a cup that's next to me. I drink one a little more, like maybe wearing the Christ. And then I give around to one of the Kiddush
options. Good. So we're going to get to that option also. That's also a good option. So I'm giving other options. One option, this was the way that they used to do it, because they weren't as germ-sensitive, is that he would drink from the cup, and then he would pass the cup around, and everybody would drink from the cup. This is the Shaar HaTzion here, quotes that as long as you're drinking from the same cup that Kiddush was made on, so it's not considered... You have any sugar over there? There you go. It's... We're in Reish Ayin Aleph. You're not... It's not considered pogum. If it's the same cup that Kiddush was made on, that's not considered pogum. Now, Shlomo Zalman and Rav Adya write that this is the best way to do it. Why? They bring a medrash. It's an interesting marker, but they bring the medrash. The Sefer Chachamim quotes that when Avram was hosting the malachim, so it says there that he had a koshel bracha when he benched, and then he sent the cup, it says there, to Sarah to drink from the cup. So they quote this as a raya that this is the ideal way to do it. The ideal way is that to drink and then pass the cup around. Now, many people don't do that for, let's say, hygienic reasons. So the other way you can do it, the second way you can do it, we already saw, is that everybody can fill up their cup with wine. And then after I make Kiddush, all of your kosos are considered kosher bracha. You don't have to actually get from the cup that the Kiddush was on. If your cups are all poured, my Kiddush is on your cup just like it's on my cup. And your cups are all considered kosher bracha. Shulchan Aruch Abraham writes this, and he says this is just as lechatchila as drinking from the actual cup. The third option, what was mentioned, is that after making Kiddush, I could pour off into other cups, or I could pour into one cup and then have somebody else give it up. But I could even, it's brought that it's not a hefsek, it's all with Tzorech the Kiddush, I can pour off into little cups, but it's ideal that you should leave in the cup, or a revius, so that when you drink from the cup, you're drinking a mali lukwah. So the best thing to probably do when you have a group of people and you want to make sure that everybody gets some grape juice, is you can pour some grape juice into a second cup. Make Kiddush, and then pour a little bit from your cup. That leaves your cup basically pretty full. Then you can drink from your cup, because again, there's an inyan to drink from a cup that has at least a revius in it. And that way everyone else is getting from the Kiddush wine. But again, this is more because people are very sensitive that they want to drink from the Kiddush wine. As we said, the Shulchan Aruch Harav already writes that if they have grape juice in their cup before, it's already considered kosher bracha. So there's a discussion, right, even about the bottle being open on the table, exactly. So, but these are the different ways that you can distribute the Kiddush wine. One other very interesting, just as we're finishing up Reish Ayin Aleph, one other very interesting case that comes up here is discussed in Tesvav. What happens if you, let's take a look at Tesvav. Reish Ayin Aleph, Tesvav. Kiddush, Bekodim Shetayim Hifsik B'dibur. What if you make Kiddush, and then, before you drink, for whatever reason, you speak. So you're just mafsik between the Bria Priya Gafen and the drinking. So you're Choser Mavarech Bria Priya Gafen, the Ein Sarach Lachzor L'Kaddish. You might have the Havamina that maybe this ruins my whole Kiddush, because I spoke between drinking. But we already know that that doesn't really make so much sense. Why? Because we know that the Kiddush is just the same words. We do it over a cup of wine in order to give it chashivos. And then you need to drink the wine because you're making a bracha on the wine. But if you talked between the Kiddush and the drinking, so you don't have to go back and say Kiddush again. You just have to go back and say Bria Priya Gafen again. And this would also be the case if the kos spills. You make Kiddush, and then as you're about to drink from it, you spill the wine. So do you have to make Kiddush again? You don't have to make Kiddush again. You pour another glass of wine, you'll make a Bria Priya Gafen on it. It happens to be that if there's other wine on the table that you were planning on drinking, you don't even have to make another Bria Priya Gafen. You could drink from that. But ideally, let's say you make a bracha on something that's in your hand. So the bracha is primarily on that. But if there are other things on the table that you were planning on eating that have that bracha, so but yeah, but you can eat that. So that would be the case here, that if it spills, and that's because it's two different things. There's Kiddush ala kos, and then there's drinking from the cup because we made a Bria Priya Gafen and we didn't want to drink from the cup. Okay, so that's Reish Ayin Aleph. Let's go to Reish Ayin Beis. There's just, I really would like to try to finish up Kiddush tonight. If not, we'll have to finish it up next week. And Mirtz Hashem also just want to talk a little bit about Kiddush Malkum Suda. But a couple of other interesting topics that are brought up here. Reish Ayin Beis is about Al Eze Yayin Mikacha. What wine is appropriate for making Kiddush? Sifal, if he talks about wine that has a bad smell to it, we'll skip that. That's not such a common case nowadays. But if we look at Beis, Yayin Migito Mikachanor. What's Yayin Migito? It means grape juice. It's wine that you didn't allow it to sit. You took it right from the wine press, right when you squeezed out the grapes. You want to use that for Kiddush. So this is basically the question of, can you make Kiddush on grape juice? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis, that says that you can squeeze grapes into a cup on Erev Shabbos and make Kiddush. I once had a relative who was driving to a conference on Erev Shabbos, and they left it a little late, and they hit some traffic, and it was a few minutes before Shabbos, and they were in the middle of nowhere. They were on a highway, in traffic, nowhere near a Jewish city. So I called up Posek, and I was trying to figure out, can we get them into a cab? What can we do? Down the Tchum. So, I don't know, maybe he said, tell them to go into a store to buy some grapes, squeeze it into a cup, and buy some rolls, and go to a hotel, and stay in a hotel for Shabbos. So, because how's he going to get grape juice? You know, in the middle of in Nebraska somewhere, where are you going to get kosher grape juice from? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes here. He says, right, you can also do that, right. V'sochet adam eshkol shalanov and v'yomer alav, kiddush ayom. Squeeze the grapes into a cup and you can make kiddush. So grape juice is okay for making kiddush. Now the question is, there's a Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Hay, where the Gemara in Brachos says that there's something unique about wine that we make a brei pri hagafen on. What's unique about wine? Gemara says that it's sa'id and it's misamech. It fills you up, wine. It's not just like water. It's more thickness to it. Fills you up, wine, and it's misameach. Now, what makes you misameach? It's not just the taste of grapes. It's the alcohol content, which is misameach here. So the whole reason we make a brei pri hagafen on grapes, on grape juice or wine, is because it's sa'id and it's misameach. Grape juice is not misameach. So who says that grape juice has the status of wine? You squeeze an orange into a cup, it's a shako. It's orange juice. You squeeze an apple into a cup, it's shako. You squeeze a grape into a cup, it should be shakol. Granted, if you allow it to ferment and it turns into wine, so now it's a whole different thing. It has alcohol in it. So we have a brei pri hagafen. That's what the Gemara in Brachos says. So why are we paskening in Bava Basra that you can make kiddush on grape juice? Sochid adam eshkol shalanovim into a cup and make kiddush. B'chor, you need wine for kiddush. B'kachin ala yayin. And grape juice is not yayin. So Shlomo Zalman writes, this is an obvious question, but Shlomo Zalman, in our generation, Shlomo Zalman writes that it's poshut. The answer is because it has the potential to become wine. Granted, right now it's not wine, but it has the qualities to be able to be misamech, which means that it's fundamentally different than orange juice. If you squeeze oranges into a cup, it won't turn into wine, it won't become alcoholic. But grapes, if you squeeze them into a cup, they can become alcoholic. And that's the reason why you can make kiddush. Now, one of the problems for us is that any grape juice most grape juice you buy in the store nowadays is pasteurized. And when they pasteurize it, it removes from it the ability to turn into wine. So it's very nice that you could say grape juice can theoretically turn into wine, and that's why you can make kiddush on it, and that's why you make a brei pri hagafen on it, except that our grape juice nowadays does not have the ability to turn into wine. If you take a kedem bottle of grape juice and you let it sit in a vat for a long time, it won't turn into wine because it's been pasteurized already. What is pasteurization, brother? Pasteurization is that they heat the wine or milk, right? Louis Pasteur, right? He was a scientist who realized that when you heat things to a certain temperature, so it, first of all, it stops the fermentation process, but it also removes bacteria and other pathogens, right? Other things that can lead to disease. And you don't have to boil it in order to get to that point. These are for the fast. When Louis Pasteur did, you're talking about Fahrenheit or Celsius? Okay, so those are for the faster methods. The original pasteurization that he did, he only brought it up to like 60 degrees Celsius, which is for like half an hour, exactly.
There we go.
We have an expert over here, right? So when you heat it up to 60 degrees or 70 degrees Celsius, say 140, 160 Fahrenheit. So if you leave it for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, that'll pasteurize it. Nowadays, they have faster methods where they're able to heat it up to a higher temperature for a very short amount of time. Something even called flash pasteurization. It's like very, very quick, right?
Like 2 seconds.
Right, right. So it's able to pasteurize it. So when you pasteurize something, it no longer is able to turn into wine anymore. So what's the halacha? So Shlomo Zalman still says it's okay, because since there was a time that it can turn into wine, it still has the potential to be wine, even though now it doesn't because you pasteurized it. But it already got its shame of wine until you pasteurized it. It could have turned into wine. So he says that it's fine. Mechachila, the Yachid Yosef writes, he quotes from his father from Rav Avadia, that mechachila, you can use it for grape juice and for kiddush and for dalad kosos. Which is not really, leave dalad kosos on the side, because dalad kosos might really need to have alcohol content to it. The Shevet Alevi, though, also writes this way, grape juice is a lechachila. Rav Yashiv, though, felt that once grape juice is pasteurized, so it's not valid for kiddush anymore, because it's not really wine. And he has a whole discussion about making a pear guffin on it. That was Rav Yashiv's position. Rav Moshe felt that you can, but lechachil, it's better to make kiddush on wine. But b'di'eved, if you don't like wine, or you don't have wine, grape juice is okay, but it's not lechachil. So we really have three possibilities. It's okay lechachila, it's not okay even b'di'eved. It's okay b'di'eved, but lechachila, you really shouldn't do it. So there are a lot of people who are machbid to make kiddush on wine. And, I often try to make kiddush on wine, but everybody in the family else likes to drink grape juice. So I fill up a big, big thing with grape juice. I make kiddush on wine. I do a very quick little dip of wine into it. And even though we already say you don't really need to do that, but I pour off a little bit. Rav Yashiv, though, interestingly, even though Rav Yashiv said he doesn't think grape juice is okay, he says that if you mix 25% wine and 75% grape juice, he thinks that that's, pasteurized grape juice, thinks that's okay. That still constitutes as wine. So he gives a pitaron. If you don't really want to drink so much wine, these yayin kals that they sell, which I think that's basically what it is. I think it's wine diluted with grape juice. So, and that's what brings the alcohol content down.
So the alcohol needs to be 4% or 3% alcohol?
Right, so dalad kosos, part of the issue with dalad kosos, maybe I'll just mention it very quickly, it's interesting, and maybe we'll have a shiur on it, more of a lumdish shiur when we get closer to Pesach. There's a very interesting question about dalad kosos. Is dalad kosos like kiddush? What's kiddush? Kiddush, we said, is b'ikr saying something, you're just doing it on a cup. But the ikr is not the drinking, the ikr is what you say. So that's what Tosos writes. Tosos writes, or at least he says he has a strong tzad, that dalad kosos is about what you say. All these lashonos of geula, v'itzalti, so you say it over a cup, but the ikr is not the drinking. And therefore, according to Tosfos, how much do you have to drink of dalad kosos? Just a mali lugma. Because it's just like kiddush. You're only drinking to be yotzei the bracha. But you don't really need to drink. Inyan's not the drinking. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that the inyan, or there's an additional inyan by dalad kosos, right? There's two dinim, the briskers say over for the Rambam in dalad kosos. One is like kiddush, to say something on a cup of wine, but the other inyan is to drink the wine. That's the expression of cheirus. And that's why many paskin that when it comes to dalad kosos, you have to drink the whole cup, or at least rove of the kosos, because rubu kakulo. Why do you have to drink? How come by kiddush you only have to drink a mali lugmo? I see all the time people make kiddush, especially like in yeshiva, and the guys are like drink, to finish the cup. You don't need to finish the cup. You don't have to finish the cup. You just have to drink a little bit. But dalad kosos, you have to drink the whole cup, according to many, or at least rubo kakulo. Why? Because by dalad kosos, it's not just about what you say. By dalad kosos, it's about drinking the cup as well. That's the cheirus. The cheirus is expressed, and therefore, if the cheirus is expressed through the drinking, it makes a lot of sense. You need it to be alcoholic, because that's part of the cheirus. Part of the cheirus is the simcha, the excitement of drinking. Now, lemaisa, there are many poskim where they can have grape juice for dalad kosos as well, but there it's not as poshut as by kiddush.
Let's say a man who's making kiddush, you can make it on wine, and pour everyone grape juice, and you're kind of the mitzvah, a drinking wine, what's going on the color there,
right.
And everyone is drinking, they have grapes.
And then the mitzvah of carving toying, 100% right, correct.
So the kids can have the grapes and the guy on the map.
Correct, 100%. So that's why I said, I pour a little bit into the bottle that we then, whatever, into the bigger cup, we then, you don't really even need to do that. We already said it. Dark is poured before. In my house growing up, my father always, he would make kiddush on wine, and he'd always say, whoever wants grape juice, fill up your cup. And then you wouldn't get from the wine. You would have, your cup would be full. You know, and everybody would like stand there holding their cup. You don't have to do that. You know, either. You just leave the cup on the table. You don't have to be holding it.
You have to fill the cup before.
You fill the cup before. We said it. Some people say if the bottle's open, but better to fill your cup, let the people fill their cup, and then they drink, and that's considered kosher bracha. All right, here's another interesting discussion, and that is also in that same Gemara on Tzadi Zayin in Bava Basra. The Gemara there says that you can't use white wine, for karbanos, for the nesachim, on the Mizbeach. Why? Because there's a pasuk in Mishnah that says, Al teri yayin ki yis adam, the lashon of Edom, of red. So the pasuk in Mishnah assumes that wine is red. And therefore, the Gemara in Bava Basra says you can't use it for the karbanos. So the Rishonim get into a discussion, well, what does this mean for Kiddush? Is the Gemara saying that there's some special, unique relationship between karbanos and red wine? Or is the Gemara really telling us that wine's ikar tzura is when it's red? Although the Pasuk and Mishlei is not talking about karbanos specifically. So that's what the Ramban writes. The Ramban on that Gemara writes that for Friday night Kiddush, which is the Araisa, even though it's on Yayin, it's not necessarily the Araisa, but Ikaro, it's the Araisa, because the Kiddush is the Araisa. So the Ramban writes that you can't be Yotze with white wine, even B'dieva. Correct. But because of this Pasuk that says, Yayin Kis Adam, that for the Mizbeach, right? And the Ramban extends that to Kiddush. So you see from this Gemara that part of the definition of wine is that it's red. Right, correct. Correct. So you're saying it should only be for that.
Right.
Correct. But this is the Ramban extends it. I'll show it to you. I have it right here. It's a very short Ramban. They all respond very quickly. It says, no, this is on that Gemara in Bava Basra. In Bava Basra. Over here, he says, he says as follows. Al tiri yayin kis adam, alma, eno kari yayin, ela adam. He went, Mikom Malkum, in Kiddush, be'inan adam. And then he says, Matsasi Yerushalmi, Amr of Yerushalmi, mitzvah lotzeis v'yayin adam. My taima, al tiri yayin kis adam. He's found Yerushalmi that says it. Umashma, good, da'afilu b'di'evim lo yatsa. Ad she'evim mari yayin, di'evim. It's even with the other. So we're going to get there right now. So this is the Ramban. The Beis Yosef says that, the Beis Yosef disagrees with this. The Beis Yosef says, this Gemara is clearly only talking with Chachila. And B'dieved, it's totally fine to use white wine. So let's take a look what he says in Shulchan Aruch. Look at Dalet. Shulchan Aruch Dalet. Mikadshin al Yayin Lavan. You can be Yotzei. It works. You can be Yotzei with Yayin Lavan. The Haramban, we're in Reish Ayin Beis. Reish Ayin Beis Dalet. So, Mikachin al Yayin Lavon, the Haramban post lo Rakirish afilu b'di'evet. Aba mavdil in alav. Uminog olam kisfar rishon. Shulchan Aruch says the minog is to follow the straight psak in the Shulchan Aruch, that white wine is okay. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah on Yud, He says, "Ulekuli alma vo mitzvah lechachila lechazer achar yain adom." Ella dim elo adom. Oh, she'enu meshubach svirulein ledeizu demotu lechachila kadosh alma vo. He says, even when the Shulchan Aruch says you can do it lechachila, we're still machmer to try to find red, unless the white is higher quality. If you have a very cheap red wine, you have a very fancy white wine, so then there's a reason to go with the white wine. But otherwise, you should try to get red wine. And Shlomo Zalman's quoted this way in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Lemaisa, though, if the white wine is superior to the red wine, so as we saw, the Mishavuri says you should go with the white, but the Sfardim holds stark to red wine. And they say that even if the white wine is better, you should make kiddush on the red. But it's brought down from Rav Yashiv also and from others. And if you pour a little bit of red into white in order to give it a little bit of a red flavor, red color, so that's called red wine, even though it's not naturally red. That would be okay in order to fulfill this din.
It's not going to be on a face. I'm just right. On a face of cooling out the way in the
air, red wine. You would be yotze b'di'evan, but definitely much more lechatchila there because of the dam, because of the reference to the dam. Correct. Okay. Yain mevushel. So this is also a very right. So far, these have been very nogea things. White wine is a very nogea question, and if you have an option between white and red, again, unless you're a big wine connoisseur and the white is really much more meshubach to you, it's definitely better to use the red wine. So what about yain mevushel? So this is all very, very interesting stuff. The Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas Rishonim about whether you can make kiddush on yain mevushel, which is cooked wine, and what the bracha is. Is the bracha brei pri agafen or shahakol? That's what's quoted by the Beis Yosef. How do we paskin? So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch here in Ches. Mekadshin al yain mevushel. You can make kiddush on yain, which is mevushel. That's his first opinion. V'al yain sheish bo dvash, or sweetened wine. V'yesh omrim she'en mekadshin alav. So we have a stam and a yesh. So in general, when you have a stam and a yesh, the halach is like the stam, which means that the halach is you could be mekadesh al yayin mevushel. But now look at the Ramah. The haminog mekadesh alav, afilu yesh lo yayin acher, rak she'en otov kemo mevushel, o she'yesh bo dvash. So the minog is to be mekadesh on mevushel wine, afilu yesh lo yayin acher, but only if it's not as good as the mevushel. Meaning, we have a minhag to allow mevushel wine, but that's only if the mevushel wine is the better wine. If the mevushel wine is not the better wine, the Ramah says not to make kiddush on the mevushel wine. So, really, unless the mevushel is superior, and the truth is, this is said explicitly, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Chaf Gimel, what does he say? To imhein shavim, yesh lochush ledasa yesh omrim, Shemachmirim b'zeh lo lekadesh. The Mishnah Berurah says it's better to be machmir for the opinion that holds not to use mevushel wine. So this is very interesting because nowadays many wines here in Eretz Yisrael are not mevushel. And in America, certainly growing up, everything was mevushel because of the issue of Gentiles touching it. Because there are three areas in halacha, at least three areas in halacha where questioning the status of the wine of being mevushel is going to have a nafkamina. One area is Shabbos. And the question is there bishul? We know there's a principle, ein bishul achar bishul. Once something's been mevushel, you can't be over bishul a second time. Once it's been mevushel once, it's mevushel. So if I pasteurize milk, because all milk you buy in America is pasteurized, unless you go to like an organic store and you're trying to get specific wine. But in general, you know, used to be all the dairies were very, very close to the towns because milk very easily spoils. So they had to get it very quickly. Milk is very susceptible to bacteria and to antigens and to, you know, to get things that can cause you to get sick. Once they started pasteurizing milk, they were able to send milk long distances. So if you cook milk and now you want to add milk to a Kli Rishon on Shabbos, and Bishul Achar Bishul. So midyaraisa, you're not going to be over on bishul. So that's going to be question number one. Is pasteurizing milk enough to make it consider that it's already cooked? And if I cook it on Shabbos, I'm not over on midyaraisa because ein bishul achar bishul. Second place with this nafkamina. Why should pasteurize it? Why should it not count as Bishul? Because Bishul officially means what? We will drink. And us. So if you do modern day pasteurizing, you bring it up to 100 degrees, you're right. But traditionally, that's a more recent technology that they bring up to such high heat. Generally, you can achieve pasteurization, which again, the goal of pasteurization is to remove bacteria. You can do that already at 60 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Celsius. Again, you can do it for a longer amount of time. But, so by Shabbos, we're going to get there in 1 second. This is one question we would have. What's the din by Shabbos? Pasteurized milk. Issue number two, stam yeinim. If a Gentile touches your wine, but the wine's been pasteurized. It hasn't been mevushel, let's say. Not the more fancier industrial methods of pasteurization, where they are anyway bringing up the boiler. But it's only been brought to 60 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Celsius, 140, 160 degrees Fahrenheit. They didn't bring it up to, 212? What's boiling? 212. They didn't bring it up to 212. So is that enough that it loses its status of wine and is no longer an issur of stam yeinim? If a Gentile would touch it, it wouldn't issur the wine. And area number three is kiddush. The Ramah advises not to make kiddush on yayin mevushel. Better not to make kiddush on yayin mevushel. So is pasteurized wine considered mevushel or not? This is a big machlokas between the poskim in Eretz Yisrael and the poskim in the United States, in Chutz Lartz. In Eretz Yisrael, the poskim generally consider pasteurization, unless you bring it up to 100, they consider that not to be considered bishul. So, why not? The Vilyoshev writes, because the whole svara, let's say when it comes to, he's talking about stam yeinim, and he does this based on a Russian, a Avodah Zarah, he's talking about stam yeinim, when a Gentile touches wine. The whole reason why, if you're mevashel the wine, there's no longer a din of stam yeinim, is because it's so not common to boil wine. They made their gezeirah of stam yeinim by regular wine that you would sit and drink with a Gentile. We don't want you drinking with Gentiles. Therefore, if a Gentile touches the wine becomes usur, which will prevent us from sitting and drinking with Gentiles. But a strange drink that you don't normally drink, they didn't make the gezeirah on that. It's milstvelo shchicha. Milstvelo shchicha, well, gozer bei rabbanan. So boiling wine is very strange. Who boils wine? So Rabbi Yosef said, so if nowadays they're pasteurizing the wine regularly in order to remove the bacteria, and for legal reasons they do it in order not to get sued, so it's not a strange thing that should prevent the issur of stam yeinim. It's something that you do standard to all the wines. So it's the regular standard wine. So there should still be a problem of stam yeinim. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said there's no noticeable change, especially nowadays with the quicker methods where they're able to do it very quickly. Even the real, real wine connoisseurs say that they can't tell the difference with the, when they used to cook it for like 30 minutes, then they said it really changed the taste of the wine. And if you were very good with wine, you could tell the difference. But they say with the flash, with the pasteurization, they do it very, very quickly, just for a few seconds. So they say that that's not doesn't cause a real change in the taste of the wine. And Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul said that in order for it to be considered mevushel, really cooked, there has to be some evaporation through the heat. Right? When you heat something, so it steams and it loses some of it. But nowadays, the pasteurization is done in a closed setting. Where industrially, they do it inside pipes that are sealed. So when they heat it up, it doesn't lose any of the, and even if it evaporates, it goes right back in because it's in a sealed setting. So the Israeli poskim, Rav Yoshev, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, they all held that pasteurization does not make wine into something that's mevushel. So therefore, stam yeinim is still a problem, even if the wine was only pasteurized. Again, if it was brought up to 100, that's mevushel. But if it was pasteurized at a lower temperature, that's not considered bishul. So I
say they pasteurize it in the bottle already. And in the bottle, the temperature is a lot higher in the bottle than around the bottle.
Interesting.
So it gets to 100.
Okay, so we have to see. I'll tell you in 1 second. Say if it won't go out, he might still say that that's not considered, it might not be still be considered bishul, because we define as bishul, you have to lose some of the steam. Very good. For kiddush,
well, I mean, I would think
you would think though that if you hit boiling,
even if it falls back in, it's still evaporating. It just fell back in,
right? But you don't end up losing anything from the wine.
The point isn't to lose. The point is that
the process removes something. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, if you boil water on the pot and seal it,
it'll also go back in.
It'll also go back in. It's still cooked.
Right. Correct. Lamaisa, the American Rav Moshe Feinstein, and also Rav Avadja, you know, but Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that pasteurization is considered mevushel, meaning even at a lower temperature. Once it hits that point that it's able to remove the impurities, that's enough considered mevushel for stam yenam and for kiddush. So stam yenam will not be a problem after you've done pasteurization. If a guy touches it, it's okay. It's considered mevushel, what we call mevushel wine. It's not a problem. Same thing in terms of kiddush. The Ramah said that, you know, this is going the other way. The Ramah said it's better not to make kiddush on wine that's mevushel. So if it's been pasteurized, you already lost that then. That's called mevushel. And so just a very interesting, and maybe this is changing because of updated and better pasteurization methods, but in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see on bottles, sometimes they'll say mevushel, and sometimes they'll say mevushel al yidei pistur. Mevushel al yidei pasteurization. The real reason they're writing that here in Eretz Yisrael is because many post Eretz Yisrael do not consider that mevushel. To restaurants where there are non-Jews or even non-from Jews, which is a discussion. Right, everyone could touch it. And if it says mevushel al yidei pistur, that means it was only pasteurized. It wasn't actually bishel. Now, it could be that nowadays all pasteurization achieves bishul itself, and this chiluk makes less of an issue. But I will tell you that for years, the OU and in America, most of the kashrut organizations, they wrote mevushel on bottles of wine, and that did not mean it was mevushel. It just meant pasteurization. They didn't write mevushel al yidei pistur. They just wrote mevushel because the OU passed that pasteurization, even at lower temperatures, is enough to consider it to be mevushel wine. And that's why it used to be, again, maybe things are changing now, used to be that when bottles came from America and they said mevushel on them, people in Eretz Yisrael knew that if you're makbid, that pasteurization is not considered bishul, so that's not good enough. You would need to still be careful with that wine. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, next week we're going to do whiskey, Chamer Medina, making kiddush on whiskey, big issue of whether you can do that, and then we'll move on to Kiddush Makom Suda.